GNC566. It's Friday, April 9th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a very proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. We're also available live now on Boxy and tomorrow the Roku. So you'll definitely want to check us out there. Got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. You'll want to get subscribed to our newsletter because that's where the action is at. We're going to have some really cool giveaways here over the next couple of weeks, courtesy of Lenovo. And also, we've got a product by a company called Ring Central. We're going to be giving that away. We're going to be giving away a Roku. So you want to get signed up for that newsletter so that you can be eligible to win. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes as well. Of course, if you're a new listener to the show, hey, get subscribed. The button to subscribe is basically right there on the main website at geeknewscentral.com. You can get subscribed to the podcast feed via iTunes or via Zoom Marketplace or just your regular podcatcher on your mobile device, whatever it may be. You can find the RSS feed there. It's geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml. That's the RSS feed for the show. So subscribe and get hooked up. And for those of you that are watching the very show for the very first time, either on Boxy or on the Roku device, we want to welcome you to the show. And we hope that you'll make this show part of your weekly, twice weekly viewing pleasure. And of course, those of you that are joining us on the audio portion of the show, welcome the Ohana. Those of you that are longtime subscribers to the show, thanks for being here and being part of the family. And really, you guys truly make up 99.99, I'm going to say 5% of the audience. We're starting to see good growth on the video side as well. But of course, we want to welcome listeners from 163 countries worldwide. Thanks for tuning in. And wow, of course, the big announcement. If you have been over to geeknewscentral.com today, you've been over to Raw Voice, what we couldn't tell you on the last show, I can tell you tonight. And part of it was really, we kind of had to really pull the trigger because we really were kind of waiting on the Roku folks. We have a Blueberry application. Of course, you guys know that Raw Voice is the parent company of Blueberry.com. The Blueberry app is like so close. I mean, so close from being released on the Roku as a channel. I can't even tell you. I hope by the time I wake up in the morning and basically check my email, it's live. I traded some email with them today, said we're real close, Todd, late today, which would have been Thursday afternoon or tomorrow morning. We think we'll be ready. And we went through the hurdles of their QA process and everything. And really what they were doing is kind of reviewing the show package we'd submitted to them and make sure that the shows that had video and those that had audio had the basically performance standards needed to really make it a great viewing and listening basically pleasure for those of you that are watching or listening on the device. And so the Blueberry app, the channel should be released on the Roku, and then at the very same time over on Boxy, if you have your Apple TV basically been, I guess for a better word, jailbroke, and you're running Boxy on your Apple TV, or if you have Boxy on your computer, your Mac, your PC, hey, we have the Tech Podcast channel now on the Boxy. It is available right now. You can go get it and view the content over there. This is really, I'm kind of excited, as you can tell, because really this is since about January, I've kind of known where we were marching to for really about this date. And we really made the decision in mid-February to really go after this hardcore. And 2010 is really going to be the year of distribution. You guys know that I have really been set on taking this show to the next level. And part of it has been working on the video quality here in the studio, working on the lights, getting this all going. Well, you know, the growth in video really requires us to have many more different viewing opportunities. So hopefully throughout the coming year, we're going to be able to get channels on the Wii, on Xbox, on Vudu, on all these other devices, these set-top boxes where you are now consuming like Netflix, where you can actually see additional apps. This is really, we think, going to be a huge, huge growth spot for us. And what a better way to get our shows onto the television. And what I like about it is we control our brand and destiny. There are some other apps or channels out there that are doing that, that have some of this content available. And my show's available on another channel that's on the Roku, but it's like 35,000 different content streams are there. So we're going to narrow the focus up a little bit and make it easier for you to find content. We're really excited about being able to really bring the content to your Lazy Boy. Where in other words, where you're sitting and you can just basically point your remote control at your TV and watch the show. So we encourage everyone that doesn't have a Roku to go out and pick one up, and you'll be able to basically watch the show on your Roku if you want to, or you can get on the Boxy app. Of course, we're going to be available, continue to be available via all the regular streams that we are now, whether it be iTunes or on the Zune or on any of the multiple devices. As well, here in a few days, we're going to have blueberry.com. Matter of fact, I'm hoping tomorrow. Angelo has been working like the poor guy. We have put so much upon him to create all this code and managing the third-party developers that we were working with to get really everything ready to launch. And he's about stressed out to here, and I promise him a little vacation time as soon as we get past this big hump. But we're going to hire a new developer. We're this big on where we're going with this distribution this year that we're going to hire another developer for the company, and he is going to be really working pretty much full-time on boom, 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 these apps out. Not only on Plus apps for the iPhone, Android, you know, that's all a big, big part of where we want to go in 2010. And of course, this show, we're just, you know, my show here, it's going to tag along and it's going to be fun to see what happens throughout the year. But if the Roku folks come through tomorrow, there'll be a new channel on the Roku, the Blueberry channel, and you'll be able to watch this show and many, many others on the device itself. And what we've really had to do is we've really had to go through and qualify shows. So what you're going to find, especially on the Roku, is you're not going to find shows that are old. You're not going to find shows that have old album art. You're not going to find shows that have no descriptions. You're not going to find shows that don't have a talent name. All that stuff is being put into a mesh, basically a software qualification mesh that will say, okay, yes, this show qualifies, boom, they're on the audio side, or boom, they're on the video side. So we'll have both audio and video side, and you'll be able to search for shows. And this is just Gen 1 of the actual channel. Or the app. I don't know how to actually call these. I guess we'll call them apps because that's what everybody's used to referring them to. But this is Gen 1. Gen 2 will add subscription capability where you'll actually be able to log into your accounts. And then Gen 3 and Gen 4, I'm not going to talk about at this point publicly because we've got some really cool things planned. I think you'll kind of figure it out as we're going down the road. But Gen 2 will definitely be subscriptions. And also the goal is boom, 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 boom. We're going to launch a bunch of channels, the Tech Podcast Roku channel, the Travelcast Roku channel. We're going to have the Pro Med Network Roku channel. So if the Roku folks allow us to put up a bunch of individual, smaller, segmented, targeted type of content channels on the device, we're going to roll those out. So you really, we're kind of at the mercy of the folks at Roku. So we really worked hard to make sure that the experience is good from the get-go, the app's good. And if it is, then we're going to move forward. And this really opens up all kinds of possibilities for content creators. And it really takes the company Raw Voice beyond the veil, I guess, of quote unquote podcasting. It takes us to, gets us connected with new media creators, gets people that maybe have churches, maybe people are doing educational stuff. And there's just a whole line and a whole litany of different types of content creators that can really use our technology. And it's all powered. And what the beauty is, the actual time it took us to get the RSS feeds and everything it was needed to put the channels together in the Roku was very quick, because we already had the infrastructure. The Raw Voice generator already had all that stuff done, all that work we've done in years past. All that back end was there. It was just done. So all we really had to do was build the channels. And for the Roku, very expensive to develop a Roku channel, many hours of programming code. And it's just not so that it's so hard, but it's kind of this, it's kind of obscure and you have to fall within a lot of different constraints. But we're excited and hope that we have a long relationship with the folks over at Roku. But again, it's not just about video. It's also about audio content and that consumption. So we're really excited about where we're going. And I hope that you'll tag along with this. Our biggest challenge is to figure out which devices to go after next. You know, do we go after Vudu? Do we go after the PlayStation 3? Do we go after Wii? You know, and how open are those devices? You know, so there's a whole bunch of challenges we have to look at talking with different vendors. So that'll be the, you know, kind of the things that we look at next. So I'm excited. Tell us, what are you guys using for devices? What are you guys watching or listening to content with right now? I have a, what's it called here? The box is over there. It's a squeeze box by Logitech. Are you guys using that? I've been listening to podcast content on that. Do we need to put an app on this device? You know, there's all kinds of different ways we can mix this up. But just send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Definitely want to hear about all your ideas. Boy, I tell you, last show went an hour and 30. I don't want it to go that long today, so I'm going to keep on moving. But all the details are on the blog at rawvoice.com. Go check it out. Read about that. We'll have some more stuff up soon as well. And I hope you're excited as I am. As you can tell, I'm really pumped up tonight. All right, next thing up, we're going to be giving away in the next, I don't know when they're going to actually allow us to do it. I've got a Lenovo, a ThinkCenter A63 here. It's actually been delivered. It's still in a box. I need to open it up and do some reviews on it, but that will get repackaged up. Then one listener of this show at some point down the road will be winning a Lenovo ThinkCenter A63 with two monitors. It's a business machine. It's going to be really cool. So I'm excited about being able to introduce that suite to you. We're doing this with a promotion through Ivy Worldwide and Lenovo, so we're excited about being able to do that. As well, we're going to have a contest this show, and this is really exciting for those of you that are having some trials and tribulations through the economy right now. And we're working with a company called RingCentral over at ringcentral.com. What RingCentral is, they're a hosted phone system designed for mobile and distributed businesses, kind of like Raw Voice, how we're distributed, and is a market leader in cloud computing-based telephony. Now, what we're going to be giving away is a, let me actually read what the actual, what it actually says. We'll have one prize, a 12-month free service of RingCentral Mobile that values about $300 toward to one of our listeners or one of our small business listeners that are listening to the show. And really what this is, it's going to give you a virtual phone system. People dial in to the telephone number. And actually, I've been testing it here. You dial in, you got a phone tree, you can set up the system. So you press one for Todd, press two for Angela, press three for Brian, and it routes the calls to your handset or wherever that person may be. It's a pretty cool service. And I'm familiar with this type of service because we've used a competitor of theirs in years past. So I was pretty excited to do a comparison. I'll say that their interface is much better than the company that we have used at Raw Voice. I'm actually in the process of transitioning that 800 number over into RingCentral's because it's just that much better. But I'm going to give away this on the next show. So if you need a virtual phone system and you're a small business owner and you're struggling, and this is what I want to do. I want to give it to somebody that really needs it and will really use it for a year. And another thing that's going to be cool is they're going to give away 5 ultimate small business startup packages. And what is going to happen is there's like 20 websites that are involved in this promotion right now. We're one of those 20. We're going to be giving away a bigger package, 5 bigger packages. It's going to be decided, I guess, amongst a group of who's going to get it or some random drawing or something. So at the end of this promotion, there'll be a bigger prize package for 5, probably of the sub-winners of this event. And it's going to be web hosting, going to be business cards with graphic and logo design help. Going to give you company incorporation services. In other words, they're going to help you in file and getting incorporated as a business and set you up with this virtual phone system, again, for a year's worth of free service. So a couple grand worth of value on that. And then, of course, we're going to give one away next week. So what I want you to do is if you want this package from RingCentral, ringcentral.com, go over to the website, check it out. And I'll be doing a little write-up on it tomorrow. Send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. You got to send it before the next show, okay? Send it to me. Say, Todd, I want this package. Here's why I need it. And I'm just going to pick one. I'm going to pick the most deserving business, small business owner, someone wants to start a business that will use this service. Please, if you don't need it, don't send me an email, okay? Again, this is it's a great deal. It really, really is. Voicemail. Fax, texting, the whole 9 yards. So anyway, let you know about this on the next show, who the winner is. We'll talk more about it and have a write-up at geeknewscentral.com about it. Hey, if you haven't done it already, change your Wi-Fi SSIDs to geeknewscentral.com. We definitely appreciate it if you do that. If you set up, if you're graphically inclined like I am not, that didn't make sense, did it? But if you're graphically inclined and you want to create some swag for the show and you want to sell it, go ahead and send me the link to it. If you make any money on it, send me a small cut and you can keep the rest of the profit. So we're opening that up. We're going to license the show to people to create cool products and services for the show. And so I'll let you know on that. And if you're part of my salary replacement plan, we're definitely going to get you set up. If you're a silver contributor for a year, you're going to get a free t-shirt. If you're a platinum contributor, you're going to be getting a polo shirt at the 1 year part and also in the pool for our revenue sharing. Pending legal approval, the accountant has signed off on it. So we got to figure out legal is going to sign off on it. Also, if you want to get some stickers and swag, you can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and the address to that will be in the newsletter, of course, as well. Hey, of course, keep the lights on here with the sponsor of the show, GoDaddy.com. Man, what could we do without him? It'd be dark. And really, GoDaddy has got great domains services. Basically, you can pick up domains to $7.49. Get them before July because the price is going up. Hosting services, web hosting, shared hosting account, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers. I think we have 8 servers. I have 256, 246 or 236. I have to get that number straight. Domains. I use a variety of their additional add-on services as well. I have secure SSL certificates. Basically, anytime you go to HTTPS at any of those sites at Raw Voice or our shopping cart, we use certificates from GoDaddy. And really, they really support the show. And I hope that you'll support GoDaddy by picking up some products over there when you need them and buying a friend a domain. You know, it's fun. I picked up 2 domains just out of a whim. You know what I picked up? I picked up the domains iPadCarpal.com because I thought I was going to get carpal tunnel syndrome from holding the iPad. So I registered iPadCarpal.com. So, you know, just on a whim, I picked up a couple of domains and, who knows? Maybe someday it'll be worth something. Maybe it's not worth it. But, you know, at $7.49, who cares, you know? Comsale, That's the best one to use for .coms. Of course, you let me go ahead and actually show these codes. I don't know if I can actually bring this up on the actual other system here. And let me get it queued. And there we go. I don't know if you guys can see that or not. Todd will save you 10%. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Central take $10 off any order of 50 or more. Aloha will save you $20 on any order of $75. So here you go. Huge number of codes. You can find these codes over in the second column of the website at Geek News Central. It's under important information, GoDaddy promo codes. So, hey, I hope you like GoDaddy as much as I do. And hope you guys help sponsor out, help this show out. Use my codes when you get to that checkout counter and save yourself some big money. I mean, keeping track. I mean, getting some emails. I'm going to start keeping track of all the savings. So if you save money, send me an email. Say, Todd, I saved $8. I saved $100 on a server, whatever it may be. Send that in to me. And if you do, we'll keep a tally and then I'll start reporting it during the shows. I think it'll be a great way to do it. And I bet you within 30 days, we can bust about $15,000 in savings. That's the goal. Send me your emails on how much money you're saving over at GoDaddy.com. All right, enough of that. Of course, the rollout of all this stuff that we've been announcing with the Roku and with the iPad has required us to do a massive amount of coordination. And, you know, Angelo's in Ohio. Jeff is in Manhattan. Brian is in Colorado. Barry is in Grand Rapids. So none of us are located in the same area. I'm here in sunny Honolulu. I'm 6 hours behind Jeff, time zone wise. So really, I roll out of bed at 5:30 in the morning. And what do? I come into the computer and I load GoToMeeting. I get it up in the virtual setting and I send an instant message to say, okay, I'm in the GoToMeeting session. If you want to come in and chat, come in and chat. And the guys bounce in and out throughout the morning. And drop ideas or drop something on, you know, hey, I got to show you this. Does this look good? And it's just kind of a way that we do like almost a virtual office. So not only am I showing my screen, they're showing me theirs. And it's just, it works. It really, really does. And from a productivity standpoint, GoToMeeting for a virtual team is more than a meeting application. Sure, you can meet with colleagues online. You can don't have to get in the car and drive across town. For me, I have to fly somewhere. You can do it right from your computer screen and using the voice IP again. I use my Logitech webcam that's running on the voice IP service that's included. It works. It really, really does. $49 a month. That's what I pay, and you can get a free 30-day trial. A free 30-day trial can be found at GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. All right, let me look at the list here. Announcement, Lenovo, RingCentral, Wi-Fi, show stuff. Yep. All right, let's go ahead and get into the regular content. Boy, this has been kind of weird. Two shows in a row, we went really long on just general chat stuff, but I hope that you guys understand it. Man, this is a big day. It really, really was. And I hope that it was worth the wait for you guys on us announcing what we announced. And I hope that you read the press release over at rawvoice.com/blog. But I've often told customers know best. And I think in a service business, when you're running a grocery store or running a food market, that's probably the case. Customers are always right. But when it comes to online stuff, customers aren't always right, because we have often said, okay, what do you want us to change? What do you think's good? And everyone's got an opinion about stuff. But we do listen and we write stuff down and we weigh stuff. So this article over on Mark Cuban's weblog, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Customers, to me is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because, you know, our community, we work with a bunch of people that we have personal relationships with. We see these folks all the time at shows, at events, at meetups, at tweet-ups, and they tell us what they really think and or what they don't like and what they do like. And so oftentimes, you kind of have to implement stuff that they say. But there's other times that you kind of have to go out on a limb. And really, the whole distribution strategy for us this year was really me realizing where the space was going. And none of our customers suggested it. Not a single one. We didn't get any comments from anybody ever saying that we should be on the Roku or we should be on the Boxy or in these other devices. And I think to a certain extent, Mark's correct here in that you have to sometimes take risk and go there. And we took a, you know, we're taking a big risk. We're spending a lot of money to do this and dedicating a lot of resources. So we're trying to be innovative. I think the thing is unique, and because we're not the first to have done this. Leo Laporte has actually got his app or his channel on the Roku, which really, you know, opened my eyes. But I think what we're going to focus on really is bringing these niche groups of content to these devices and being able to bring other types of content as well. So I think that's what separates us, where we're not trying to dominate, you know, a specific category. We're going to really try to throw a whole bunch of stuff at really the devices so that it gives people a lot of options, because everyone's consumption habits are different and we're just trying to bring it to them in little chunks at a time. And we're excited about being able to help companies get there too. So anyway, I think some of the stuff that Mark says is right, but at the same point, you still have to listen. You know, we listen all the time. What's the biggest demand right now? HTML5 compatibility on Blueberry. We've been hearing it, and we're going to deliver it. And obviously, I want it too, but our customers have also said they want it. Now, Apple has dominated. They have dominated the news cycle really for a month. And boom, again today, they have made an announcement about iPhone version 4.0. And boy, a lot of interesting announcements. So I got a whole line of stuff here from Engadget. Engadget, Gizmodo, all the majors were at the presentation today. But I'll just basically kind of go through some of the topics that Engadget talked about a little bit. One of the big things they announced on the SDK change, the software development kit change for those that are their developers, is that there's no longer going to be allowed like these third-party calls to different, let me click on that, go. I can switch that in. Actually, I'm talking to myself here. Shouldn't do that. But the apps must be written in one of three languages, C, Objective-C, C, or C++, and only APIs that can be used are ones that are documented. What people are speculating is that this is a action by Apple to really kind of completely slash any chance that Adobe has to get any type of linkage into these Apple products. So big news on that part. Of course, we're probably going to see more about that over the next couple of days as Adobe maybe responds as well. Another announcement was that the iPhone OS 4 is not coming to the iPad until the fall. To the phone will happen in the summer. Of course, no specific date, but they did demonstrate it. Of course, they demonstrated multitasking. I think we all knew that was forthcoming in the announcement. But it depends on what phone you have. And really, I think what they've done here is they're making you upgrade. So if you have a 3GS or above, I guess that's the only one, right? 3GS. It will do multitasking. But if you have a 3G and below, sorry, no multitasking. And they demonstrated it and it said it looked pretty good. Responsive time was all right. There's some videos on it on the net already. All you have to do is just really Google it on, and you'll find some demo videos. But finally, they should have done this in the beginning. They really should have. So this has been the biggest complaint. What do I hear from Android users? I can do multitasking. What do I hear from, you know, all the other phones? I can do multitasking. And here we've been this whole time and not being able to do multitasking. So I don't know why they're not rolling it out to the iPad earlier. They're going to make us wait. And So, you know, it is what it is, but I'm glad they're going to finally be able, because the iPad experience would be much better with multitasking. Very obvious for me from the very, very get-go. Now, they've listed a whole bunch of new features. I'm not going to go through these because it's just, you know, yawn. So I have the list here. I think the most exciting thing for all us as users is that there's going to be multitasking available. Now, along with that, we know that there was a different type of readers that are coming. It looks to me like Barnes & Noble, the Nook, is going to be launching at Best Buy in around the 18th. So, you know, the question I have is, you know, I have not been in a Barnes, be honest with you, since I got my Kindle, I have not been in a Barnes & Noble store or on their website in a couple of years. Now, my wife goes in there once in a while, and she picks up, like, discount, those big, thick books that they have that they're usually trying to sell for $50, but make, you know, great conversation pieces on your, you know, in your living room, on your tables and so forth. And so that's, she goes in there to find those, but I haven't been in one of their stores. So are any of you Barnes & Noble fans? You guys go and hang out and drink coffee and, you know, do you shop there? Are you going to buy a Nook? Is that even a consideration at this point? And there's so many different devices. You know what? You know, think about it. They're launching right behind what has been touted to be 450,000 iPads having been sold. Kindle is getting ready to, it sounds like, reduce the price of their device. You going to buy a Nook? If you are, I'd love to hear why. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Of course, you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you have something to feedback on the show, and let me know what you think. And I want to hear if you're going to buy a Nook. Now, geeks, this is the Geek News Central, right? Now, I'm going to let you guys think about this for a second here. This is before I show you on Ustream the picture. Snapstream has come up with a monster DVR. It records 50 channels at the same time. Now, you're thinking, oh, that just, you know, sends a little chill down my spine, right? Because I could really, if I had enough storage, record just about everything I'd ever want to record. Except it's about the size of two refrigerators. Or better yet, what, like a big Coca-Cola cooler is kind of what it, the size of it is. It is not small. It definitely will not fit in your house. It will not probably run on normal power that comes out of the wall. And it will drive your electricity bill to about $1,000 a month. But you can put 100 terabytes worth of hard drives in this thing, 100 terabytes, and record 50 channels at a time. Doesn't tell how much it's going to cost. But, wow. Holy smokes. Is that crazy or what? It really is. And as you can see, those of you on Ustream, I'm trying to get my fingers down on changing camera views. And you can see I went to the wrong camera there. Now, when I was at CES, there was this big, huge flat screen that Intel had up that was just amazing. I think they called it Dreamscape, if that was the right word for it. But anyway, it was beautiful. And, you know, having for years, worked in buildings where there was no windows, I'd always laugh. Now, here now, I look out my window and I see my backyard. Or if I go out to the side of my house, I can see a sliver of the ocean from one position. I got about this much room, that, you know, just a little bit, maybe a little 10-degree swath I can see the ocean from because of the housing buildup here. But I always said when I worked in a building with no windows, I said, wouldn't it be great if we put a camera on the outside and had a flat screen monitor on the wall that would really show us what it looks like outside? Well, now you can put a Runco window wall. This thing is huge. It has It's made up of 46-inch Samsung panels, and there's 9 of them. And this thing ends up putting out a pixel of 4,098 by 2,304. That's pretty amazing. Obviously, I don't know where they're going to get video to shoot at that. Of course, if they got a Red, someone shooting video with a Red, they can probably get a video at that big of a, you know, with that pixel resolution. But I thought, wow, that's nice. How much does it cost? You know, you talk about that $1 million view. Well, it's not quite $1 million, but it's $100,000 to buy this thing. You know, I guess if everyone in the neighborhood pitched in, you'd have one heck of a way to watch football games and stuff in the backyard. So very cool stuff. Of course, at the Apple announcement, of course, I should have covered this earlier, but at the Apple announcement as well, they announced their iAd. And, you know, actually, my son has my iPhone. He was playing a game on it. Actually, oh, my wife made him bring it in. Hang on. So if you take your mobile phones out, folks, and if you look at the screen, and don't unlock it, but if you look at your screen, and let me change camera here views. Let's turn this on. If you look at your screen, right where your slider is, so to slide down lock, that gray part, that is about the screen real estate that they want to give developers to run ads on your phone. And I'll be the first to say this publicly. If I buy an iPad or iPhone application and it's using 1/8 of my screen to run an ad on software that I have purchased, I will immediately delete it. And I hope that you'll support me in that as well. Now, if the app is free, well, maybe I'll put up with that. But maybe the person ought to put the app up for 99 cents so I don't have to see an ad on my phone. Because if they want to give up 1/8 of my screen for advertising, it's already small enough on the iPhone. Can you imagine your mobile phone and 1/8 of the screen being delivered advertising on apps that you've bought? Are you guys with me? Are you guys going to go ahead and bounce as well? Are you guys not going to, will you guys delete apps that you buy? I just don't understand. Hey, it's all about making money. And Apple is definitely trying to do as much as they can. All right, let's go into something non-Apple and non-phones. But let's talk about the internet a little bit. Okay, today, the city of Manassas, Virginia, which spent $1.6 million building what was, at the time, the most modern broadband over power line, is RIP. It's out of business. Over the past 5 years, about 500 residential and 46 business customers accessed the network that was costing $100,000 a month to maintain, and they paid $24.95 a month. Now, you had 500 residential customers paying $24.95. You guys can do the math real quick. And 46 business customers, and it was costing $100,000 to maintain it? I'm surprised it lasted this long. Wow. But, you know, earlier in the decade, FCC Chairman Michael Powell had really said that this was the thing. This was the cat's meow. But anyway, BPL, broadband over power line, looks like is RIP, and not to see another day at this point. How many of you have downloaded a couple of Twitter apps? I know I have Twitterific on my phone. I use a couple of apps I've actually paid for that I use on my computer. How many of you have done that? Do you guys in the back of your mind worry that Twitter or companies like that have so much infrastructure being built on top of it could not come in and replace that functionality overnight and kill a business model? Well, some comments that were made by Twitter investor Fred Wilson of Union Square Ventures has got a lot of Twitter developers pretty worried. And, you know, because, you know, Microsoft has done this in the past, Apple has done it, where people have, you know, business models for companies that are supporting apps or supporting whatever device may be, you know, there's a lot of risk in that. And of course, you probably could say we're putting a little risk in building channels for the Roku. But, you know, it comes with the territory. And we understand that, you know, the tides of media consumption can change in a moment's notice. But would you base your whole business course? And again, my entire business model is not dependent upon one particular device developer saying, no, you can't be on our device, or having to go through, you know, whatever hurdles may have to be to get on there. Our business model, this is, you know, it's a supplement, adds to our business. But I can't imagine having a business that would be so tightly tied to the whims of a company. And this has to make an impact negatively on the investment of companies that are really going to be developing more Twitter apps and, you know, interfaces. I think if I was to build anything that would be, how should I say, dependent upon someone, I would definitely have some fallback. But boy, oh boy, some comments this guy made is got a lot of people running scared, because they think that Twitter might be just, you know, out to roll out some, you know, new features that will make these third party apps mute. And in all honesty, if I was Twitter, I probably would do that, because what's that going to do? It's going to drive my valuation up, not the third party, or to have to figure out a way to monetize the third party. You know, these too many companies today are afraid to make money in business. I don't get it. You know, I really, really don't. You got to be in business to make money. You can't be in business just to, you know, give stuff away. And I know there's different models. You know, obviously Twitter, the per user, the subscribers are of a value in itself. But still, you know, if you have a business, you got to make money. I guess call me old school. Hey, my raw voice is still here. we're making payroll. Guess what? We're making money. You have to. All right, those in the UK. Oh my goodness. I guess you guys woke up this morning yesterday morning, to the news that the UK Labour government, shortly before midnight, pushed through the digital economy bill. So, you know, this kind of stuff has happened here in the United States. It's definitely happening over there in your neck of the woods. And boy, oh boy, there's a lot of people upset. A lot of angry reactions on Twitter. Of course, it was a trending topic on Twitter. And one of the main opponents, Labour MP Tom Watson, who voted against the bill, said this of the proposal: there might be a deal with the Tory front bench and the Lib Dem front bench, but there are 20,000 people have taken the time to email their MPs about this in the last 7 days. And he voted against it, and I guess he voted against his party, and he said it made him feel sick. Well, you know, why do you feel sick? He should feel good about following his convictions. But there was some follow-up over on Tech Dirt. Let me see if I can find the article without getting too far out of place here, where, and this is just shows you how much elected officials really don't understand what they're voting on. Emily Thornberry, I guess she's an MP in the House of Commons, made this statement to a constituent. I think that her name's Emily, and she says, "Dear Emily." So this is kind of weird how that, I hope she didn't write a letter to herself. But anyway, She says, copyright owners are currently able to go online, look for material to which they hold the copyright and identify unauthorized sources for that material. They can then seek to download a copy of that material and in doing so capture information about the source, including the intellectual property IP address, and she has in parentheses IP address along with the date and timestamp. You know, it's like maybe this was just a typo because there should have been a comma there, but she relates IP to an action to intellectual property being instead of an actual. It's kind of weird how it's written, but anyway, the proponent of this article says that the folks didn't understand what they were voting on. Now, I think they know what they're voting on. You know, most of these congressional people get briefed to a certain extent, but often they don't listen to their constituents. Must be probably not enough people called in or wrote letters or emails and said that we don't like this, but you guys are stuck with this thing. We were stuck with the DMCA. Those of you in the UK are stuck with what you have. And I'm sorry, but it's been pushed through. We'll see what this results in now. And putting the law in effect and having enforcement of two different things. But The Guardian was not very, very nice. They launched a pretty savage attack on the bill. They said, you would be hard-pressed to find a better example how broken our current political system is than the passage of the Digital Economy Bill through Parliament. And that legislation was made to order on behalf of the so-called creative industries in the face of opposition from pretty much everyone else. The author of this in the Guardian by the name of James Graham goes on to say he also lamented that the lack of internet expertise in the House of Lords will mean that legislation won't get a proper debate there either. So those of you in the UK, hey, what do you think? Fill me in here. What does this mean for you guys? What's the next step for this becoming law? I'd love to hear your feedback, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. And many of you ask me, how come I spend time on UK articles? I cover stuff from the UK because we have about 13 to 14% of the audience that is from the UK that listen to the show. So I always want to try to cover what I can for them and do it hopefully in a semi-timely fashion. They're obviously 12 hours the other way time zone-wise, and most of the folks in the UK are already up and at work when I'm recording this show. So many times the news is a little bit older, but I want to thank the UK listeners for being part of the Ohana as well. Of course, the big announcement that really came in disheartening early in the week was the FCC's loss in the decision, the court decision, where Comcast basically has won their legal challenge against the FCC. And the FCC has said that the decision on Comcast could hamper a national broadband plan. And General Counsel of the FCC has said that the court's ruling that the FCC does not have the authority to enforce net neutrality was an important ruling. I think that's an understatement. The FCC cannot, by this court decision, they do not have the authority to enforce net neutrality. This is bad news, folks. This is bad, bad news for all of us. That means that Comcast now, if they don't like you using a streaming Netflix on your Wii or on your PS3 or whatever you may be streaming Netflix to, or watching Geek News Central on your Roku, or watching Geek News Central on your Apple TV through your Boxy hack. If they don't like it, they can throttle you. And there's nothing the FCC can say. Now, the FCC is saying that they're going to come out with about 60. Basically, they're going to go and try to get a legislative fix for about 60 points. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But could be a big setback for all of us here really looking to seek protection from the FCC on companies like Comcast and others who, you know, now no longer have to play nice. And I think we're just going to have to be careful and watch and see what these companies do. all these internet service providers and call it out when we see, you know, something going on. We're all going to have to watch this very careful. Make sure we aren't, you know, if services aren't throttled, if we find services being throttled, we need to really gain the necessary proof and call them out. All right, you guys ready for the laugh of the night? This is over on Channel Web at CRN.com. AT&T says that its 3G network is ready for iPad traffic. They say they're ready for iPad traffic. Oh, I just find, you know, that in itself is, you know, need we say any more? Now, not only that, they're saying that the iPad 3G is going to be truly unlimited. Mark Siegel, a spokesman for AT&T, says unlimited is unlimited. Stream video 24/7 if you want. AT&T promises they won't criticize or judge. Says YouTube yourself silly all day and night. Use Sling Player until your eyes go square. While Siegel also wanted to remind me that he expected iPad users spend a lot of time on Wi-Fi hotspots, he said that crazy outliers who stream data all the time won't be penalized. So those of you that watch Leo Laporte for 24 hours a day and watch his stream of video, which, you know, I hope soon you'll be able to watch a stream of video over at techpodcast.tv, you're not going to get booted. Oh, we've heard this so many times. Bait and switch, folks. You mark my words. I make a prediction right here on the show. The prediction is that within 6 months of AT&T introducing 3G on the iPad, that they will come back and rescind this, and they will say they are going to go after the biggest violators of 3G. You know what? I'm almost tempted to go buy another iPad. Okay, should I do this, folks? Should I do this? You guys stick with me here. Should I go buy an iPad with 3G? I'll plug it in here at the house. We'll get it set up on something so it will run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on some video streaming server, right? Do Pandora, we'll stream whatever, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on AT&T service. You guys think I should do that? If we all did, we probably would be all on their hit list. So should I go for it? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Those of you that use Foursquare, the app Foursquare, they say they've introduced some new stuff to stop people from cheating and claiming mayorships from your couch. In other words, people are checking in to, you know, places where they were not even close to, just doing it from their couch. Oh, I'm checking in here. So they said they've tried to stop some of that through anti-cheating stuff. People always find a way around that. So we'll see what happens. Citrix has also launched an app for the iPad, which is pretty cool. I was playing around with it. They're really getting smart on these mobile devices. So if you're one of our Citrix customers, definitely check it out. But Citrix has also bought a stake in a virtual desktopper. They bought a little company called Kavizia, or Kavizia, K-A-V-I-Z-A. What they do is they virtualize corporate desktops. And Kavizia, I guess that's the correct word for the company, has some technology there that they wanted. So they keep moving the bar here. I'm sure we'll hear more about that products and services as time goes on. I'm yawning a little bit tonight. I don't know why. Had a pretty good day, so but it is a little bit late here. All right, Netflix has posted a help wanted ad for an Android app developer. So it looks like they want to get Netflix onto the Android, so we may see that soon. The space shuttle is docked with the International Space Station, even though they did have a failure of an antenna on the shuttle that is used in the docking process. But they docked with no issues. Hatch opened about 90 minutes later. And they're going to be starting to unload cargo. They're actually doing it tonight. Tonight is Thursday. Show's released Friday morning. So anyway, we'll hear more about that as the time goes on. Hey, big patch Tuesday next week. According to Microsoft Security Response Center, Microsoft will issue 11 security bulletins addressing 25 vulnerabilities on Tuesday. And it's also going to host a webcast, which is interesting. But 11 different patches for us, so we'll have to see what happens there. So patch Tuesday, and there's like 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 of them that are critical, 5 that are important, and 1 that is a moderate issue. All right, this next article, and you guys really can't see too much on this. This is an article on Ars Technica. I tell you, AT&T, everyone, they're pretty full of themselves right now. But the folks at Verizon, and I'm going to try to highlight this. Verizon CEO says studies be damned, U.S. is tops in broadband. Verizon CEO, I'm going to read from the article here. Verizon CEO Ivan Seidenberg sat down for an on-the-record conversation yesterday at the Council of Foreign Relations, and he pulled no punches. He says the U.S. is number one in the world when it comes to broadband. We're so far ahead of everyone else, it's not even close. Did you guys hear about a Senate hearing the other day where some senator actually asked some general if he put too many people on an island, would it flip over? I guess it's quite a YouTube sensation right now. I wonder if this CEO and representative were out drinking the same place the night before. Wow. Can he be so emboldened? He says Japan has a much lower usage rate. Who cares if they have a much lower usage rate? They still have much higher speed. My sister-in-law has like 40 down and 40. It's something ridiculous. And she doesn't, well, I didn't know it was fast. In Japan, where everybody looks at Japan as being so far ahead, they may have faster speeds, but we have higher utilization of people using the internet. So our view is whenever you look at these issues, you have to be very careful to look at what the market wants, not what the government says is the most important issue. Let me ask a poll question here. Well, this is where I wish I had had a little instant poll on Geek News Central. But would you guys just rather have faster internet connectivity or more penetration of people being able to get access? Let me think here. Most of us can get access, but we want more speed, but yet he says we don't want more speed. He goes on, let's take wireless, for example. Everyone says the European system was kind of better. Well, that's very interesting. If you look at minutes of use, the average American uses their cell phones four times as much as the average European. If you look at Europe, the published penetration rate's at 150-160%, meaning that people have more than one phone, two phones or three phones. So, he says, you know why? Roaming rates are so high. Well, of course. They live in an area of the world where, guess what? They can drive 20 miles and be in another country. 95% of the people that live in the United States cannot drive 20 minutes and be in another country. Maybe that's not right. But who cares? Who cares? This guy is so far off the beaten path. I just can't even. You guys got to read this. You really do. I have it up there in the show notes for you. Unbelievable. Well, the folks over at NASA, they have bit their pride, swallowed hard. They're going to lay off about 10,000 people because of the cancellation of the Constellation project. And they're going to announce, or they have announced, how they're going to bring the commercial manned rocket business, is that a bailout, into really the current administration's plan. So, NASA Administrator Chief Bolden, former shuttle pilot, defended the agency's new direction Thursday, saying the president's controversial vision is unlike past programs, affordable and sustainable. Okay. This budget provides an increase to NASA at a time when the funding is scarce. He said it will enable us to accomplish inspiring exploration. This is the same guy that was on BBC doing an interview that I showed you two shows ago that was crying. That was crying about what direction the NASA is being forced to take. This is the same guy that was crying. Wants to save his job. Now, we'll see what they say. We'll see what they come up with. But, you know, they're taking a proactive approach to this, which is good. They have no other choice. But we'll see what the president has to say next week. I'd really love to hear you guys' thoughts. Am I being too hard on them? You know, are they talking out? Is the NASA folks talking out of two sides of their mouth? One hand wishing they could do one thing, but being told they have to do another? I don't know. You guys tell me. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Hey, the European Space Agency launched an ice tracking satellite. It's going to be tracking thickness of ice on Greenland, Antarctica, and the polar seas. So they launched the satellite out of the Kazakhstan Baikonur Cosmodrome and was aired live on ESA's website. And so this is a launch that happened after losing the same type of satellite 4 years ago. So good news on that. And then in the aerospace side, Solar Airplane completes maiden voyage. Solar Impulse, a prototype of an airplane designed to fly around the world. And I got to show you guys, this is a cool picture. This is over on Wired. It really, really is. This is amazing. You guys know I'm an aviation buff as well. 24 years of flying in the Navy. And look at this majestic craft. It's huge. It's powered by 12,000 solar cells. It flew for 87 minutes at an altitude of 4,000 feet. And this, here's the crazy thing. Has the same wingspan of a few feet bigger than a 787, and but it weighs less than the average car. And this is the first flight that really they have been in the air for any length of time. The last time they flew, it was 30 seconds, just long enough to make sure it flew. But it's actually got a pilot in it. And so they were pretty nervous about this flight. You know, you just never know when you have a vehicle like this what's going to happen. But they did some maneuvers, some turns, a simulated approach, and had a good flight. So congratulations to those folks. I think they flew this just out of Sweden, I think, is where this actually flew. Yeah, it flew over the Swiss countryside. And the vehicle is actually sponsored by Solvay and Omega and Deutsche Bank. So I'm not familiar with Solvay, but I am, of course, everybody knows who Deutsche Bank is and Omega. But there's some pretty cool pictures on the website here. Matter of fact, I'll flip back to the screen and show you guys this one. This is a pretty remarkable shot here from behind. It shows you how thin the aircraft body is, and really, really cool. So congratulations to them. They're going to do an around-the-world flight with this in a couple of years. All right, some of you have been sitting in your computers way too long. I know that I need to get out behind my computer from time to time. But if your only human contact is through your computer window, there is the I Feel I Am. And what this is, it's a product from Tohashi University of Technology in Japan. And what it does is it's like a small backpack, and it hugs you, and the device can simulate heartbeat and a tickling sensation. It's called the hugging vest. I'm sure it probably will sell well in Japan. I got a pretty good article here. Touring the Chernobyl nuclear accident site in 2010, a series of pictures. I'll have this up in the show notes for you. You can read through. This is a nine-page article. Very good. And I've been, you know, I've talked about Chernobyl here a few times, and this is a pretty good article. Lots of pictures, stuff that you probably haven't seen before. How many of you like sushi? My wife's Japanese. You know I eat sushi, right? But there's a science report out that Americans don't have the guts for sushi. At least that's the implication of a new study, which finds Japanese people harbor enzymes in their intestinal bacteria that help them digest seaweed, enzymes that North Americans lack. What's more, Japanese may have first acquired these enzymes by eating bacteria that thrive on seaweed in the open ocean. Oh, I've been eating sushi for 20 years and seaweed and you name it, because that's what happens when you're married to a woman from Japan. And okay with me, no problems yet. Some of you are going, yuck, I know some of you don't like sushi. Judge who has revealed his anonymous commenter on a newspaper site. Imagine this, a judge is making comments on a newspaper's site, on articles making comments, and the newspaper outed him or her. And so the judge is pretty upset about it and has sued the newspaper for $50 million, claiming breach of contract, fraud, invasion of privacy, defamation, and a few other charges. Ooh. So we'll see what happens here. You know, you don't want to upset somebody like that. You know, upset a judge, you know you're going to get sued. You really, really are. Now, this one I don't argue with. This mother may should take her son out and instill some discipline upon him. But apparently, a young individual is how they're defining him, not an age, but I read somewhere where he might be 13, got his mom charged with harassment over his Facebook account. Apparently, mom used his computer when he was still logged into the Facebook account and made some comments and stuff. And he got her charged on a cyberbullying and cyber harassment law. Yeah, that happened in my house. Yeah, those of you parents, you know what I mean, right? Can you believe that? Can you, if he wasn't a minor, if he's 18 years old, there's the door. Oh my goodness. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Makes you wonder where we're headed, doesn't it? Hey, pretty cool article. Pretty good thought processor here. Hey, Google, fiber losers, build it yourself. Craig Settles has an answer for the 1,095 communities that are not going to get Google to build a next-generation fiber optic network in their area. Says, don't pout, organize. I think that's a great idea. He is Settles a broadband consultant. He lives in North Carolina, and he's joined up with another advocate to launch Communities Unified for Broadband, which they propose as a hub for communities to spend untold hours on Google bandwidth application. I think this is great. Get people organized. Get them a single voice. Let them scream and yell at their local legislators and companies. This is a great article. It's over on Wired. Definitely read it, folks. If you want fiber of significant speed like they're proposing, you definitely want to check this out. It's been a while since we had a Hubble photo. This is the last article of the night before we get into the email. And I got to show those of you that are on Ustream this beautiful picture. And, you know, I call myself a very rank amateur in the astronomy field. I don't have a clue on most of this stuff. So this picture just makes you go, wow, it really does. And they explain, you know, all the stars and the galaxy and everything that's in this picture. But then they zoom out and they show, you know, the same area from take the zoom out of the lens on Hubble. So, you know, you got all these galaxies out here. So what is the space in between galaxies? Is that just space? They call that space. Maybe I'm having a blonde moment or something here, but you know, you look at the distance between these two galaxies and you just, okay, what do they term that in between? Is that just open space and then you get into this? It's kind of weird. And I really never had that defined for me. So maybe someone will clue me in here. Really, I haven't. But because there's, you know, you look at the night sky and when you look in a telescope, you see these areas, you see the Milky Way, blah, blah, blah. Of course, that's, you know, in our backyard here. But some of these areas, you know, there's quite a distance between galaxies. So, very cool stuff. So I'm sure I would get a pile of email. People are saying, what are you talking about, you knucklehead? All right. Anyway, here we go on the email. Okay. Hey, all right. I'm starting to get some submissions from folks on the iPhone app contest. And Jacob, I've just make you a little comment here, if I would. One thing that you may want to do is, if you have time, go out and download some podcasting apps that are out there. Just take a look at some of those. You can just, you know, you can Google for some shows and take a look. This is a good start on yours, but I think we need to really have focus on more. It's starting, but I think we need a little more work. I don't know how to say it without telling the other contributors where we're at in their development, but I'll send you some more feedback privately. I'll try to keep this as fair as possible. Hey, got an email from Richard. Hey, Todd, I think you mentioned the UK digital economy bill in a recent show. If not, have a look. And he says his ISP is fighting back, and he gives me a link to some of the proposals and stuff that were passed. Got an email here from Craig, and for some reason these messages are loading slow. Another article on the BBC. He said the final vote on the DEB, which includes controversial measures that could result in illegal file sharing, having their internet connection suspended of copyright infringement being blocked, is expected at about 10:30 British Standard Time today. Yes, Craig, we sadly know that that happened, and so I'd love to hear your feedbacks now on your feedback now on, since it's passed, at least with the House of Commons. Now let me know what's next. Got an email from Nigel. He said, "Hey Todd, tell me it's an April 1st, and this is still a joke. Ryanair is considered charging you to use a toilet on flights of less than 1 hour. Have they gone mad? I'm never going to fly any airline which charges for this. Regards, Nigel. Guess what? yes, Ryanair is going to be charging you to go to the latrine. You're going to have to, you know, take your credit card up to the door and swipe it. Now, for those of you that live in Europe, paying a small fee to use a public toilet is nothing new. Okay, that's kind of a European thing. But can you imagine having to stand in line and, you know, put a quarter in the door or what? Oh my gosh, unbelievable. Yes, they are nickel and diming us to earth. I won't fly them either. Got an email from Bill out of Coatesville, Pennsylvania. He said, "Hey Todd, if you're not following this guy on Twitter, give him a look. He's a scientist up on the International Space Station. He tweets about the station now that they have internet connection up there. He sends back really awesome shots like this one. Very cool." Home run, Bill. I will have this up in the listener show notes. Thanks so much for that. Got an email from Terrence. Todd, it's a refreshing change from an endless stream of iPad reviews. Gizmodo has a great article on the experiences of a pilot of the SR-71 Blackbird. Very good read there, Terrence. Good catch. Got an email here from Frank. He says, "Hey, Todd, judge refuses to quash subpoena for IT person. Basically, subpoena stands in the Marion Webb case. I have that linked up in the show notes. I got an email here from another email from Craig. Let me look up. News show for your story looks to okay. Yeah. So anyway, Craig sent me some more information on the digital bill in the UK. Oh, that's a double. I got an email from or actually a tweet direct message from one of our listeners. Take a look at, and he gives me a link, if you have a 3G on your laptop, maybe an answer to no Wi-Fi on the iPad. It's pretty cool. That's it. That's all we got for comments. And hey, I'm going to make time here. Great. All right, folks. No voicemails tonight. Normal show coming to you Monday. So look forward to bringing that to you. And hope you guys enjoyed the show. I hope you are excited as I am about being able to watch this show and hundreds others on the Blueberry channel on Roku. And of course, you can get all of the Tech Podcast channels now on the Boxy. There will be vice versa. There will be a Boxy app with Blueberry, and there will be a Tech Podcast app on the Roku. Just got to get through this first round here and then do submissions for the second ones. And hopefully with some of our partners and customers that we're going to gain here over the next a few weeks. We've already had a huge number of inquiries from companies wanting to know exactly what we're doing. We'll be able to start rolling out some very cool stuff, all powered by the raw voice generator. Look forward to, again, bringing the show on Monday. Should be a great show, lots to talk about. And let me know what you think. What you think of the announcement? Was it worth the wait? Was it what you thought it was? Are you disappointed? Did I overhype it? I think you guys know how excited I am in the direction we're going here. And hope that you guys think this is a great way too. And wait till you see this stuff on your TVs. That will convince you. When you watch this show on your HD television set, you're going to flip out. You really, really are. And but I'm excited about it, and hope you are too. All right. Email geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Until next time, everyone take care. And aloha.